Welcome and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 755. If you'd like to have a copy of program number 755, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. I've got the continuation of the book of Revelation, music and letters. But right now, let's pray, Father, that you will continue anointing me, that the people of the world and the people in the church will have a stronger, more full understanding of the duty that we have to live in the Spirit. We know that if we don't live in the Spirit, that we're carnal and that we're in the world, rather than in the spiritual realm. Therefore, we're still not born again in the Spirit. We have to be aboard the Spirit, the life of you, in order to be able to satisfy your need for us to be totally in you and you to be totally in us. There's no in-between. So, Father, I pray that this will be furthered in this message, and that Satan will be bound even all the more, and that the way of life is revealed to us even all the more, and that every door for Satan is closed, every door. Lord, rebuke him in Jesus' name. And open doors for us, great and mighty doors, things that we've not seen that will shortly come to pass. For we know that you're coming back to earth again, and therefore we need your total guidance in these last days. We need the Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, I ask that this happen in the name of Jesus, souls be saved, and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so we need the Lord's conviction on a daily basis all throughout the day in order for us to completely put an end to the things that the Lord does not desire for us to have. As I said yesterday, half of us can't be in the airplane and half out. Half of us can't be on the train and the other half out. There's the gospel train that's coming. And if we're half on, then we're dragged. The train is dragging us to death. Because we've got to be totally on board. The Lord's day is every day. Because we must rest in Him. And that's what I'm talking about, is if we're totally in the Lord, then we're totally resting in God from all of our labors. Our life, our labors, our deeds, all these things. All right, I'm in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Verse 17, and when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not! I'm not coming here to send your soul to hell. I'm coming here to tell you something, so don't fear that I'm going to send you to hell now. And I'm never going to send you to hell if you stay on the boat, in the plane, in the car, the vehicle, in me. I am the first and the last. I'm the A to Z. I'm Jesus. I'm God. Verse 18. I am he that liveth, and I was put to death. I was dead. Well, who was living and who was dead? That was God. That was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And behold, I am alive forevermore. What is evermore? That's eternal, right?
Amen.
Forevermore. Amen, he said. Yes, indeed. And have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, I can put you to death just by turning a key. I can send you to hell just by turning a key. Don't fear him, Jesus said, who can take your life, but rather fear him who can take your life and send your soul to hell. Well, that's God. Satan could kill you. He killed John the Baptist. They murdered Jesus. They murdered the Apostle Peter. They turned him upside down. But they couldn't send their souls to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Satan can kill you, but you better not fear him. There was three Hebrew children. They knew. They were standing firm on the promises of God. You stand firm, Jesus says, on my word, and you will go to heaven. Well, they said, well, we're going to throw you in. Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself about 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. And it was made of gold. And said that everybody's supposed to worship him. Because he was the king of the world. There wasn't anybody that had more money than him or any more power than him on earth. He said, I want everybody to worship me. I think that statue is 90 feet tall. And it was made out of gold. And so he made a commandment, just as they're doing today, that you have to worship the beast. You have to worship the one world government of Rome, or else you'll be put to death. Well, these three decided not to do that. They said, we're not going to be slow in answering you. We will not bow down before any idol. That's the second commandment. It says you're not to worship any idol. And we're going to, that's detail. That's detail. Now, how many people are you worshiping on this earth? How many people do you worship? Now, the detail is don't worship any image or any kind of image. Whether it's a man or a woman or a beast or anything. And so it says we're not going to give up or forfeit heaven just to please you. It says go ahead and throw us in the fiery furnace. And the fiery furnace was so hot that the people that threw them in there were killed. And he looked in there, the fire was so hot, and here they are walking around in there unharmed. And they saw a fourth person in there, and he was like the Son of God. He was the Son of God. It was Jesus. So we are not supposed to be afraid to go into any place that the Lord tells us to go, but we're never, this is detail now, we're never to go into any place or to keep any commandment that anybody makes that is not of God. We're not to bow down before idols. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I am he that liveth and was dead. That should tell you something, that they can't kill me. Nobody can kill me. You killed me, but I raised myself up from the dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Nobody can kill me anymore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Now, here's what I'm telling you to do. And I believe I have the power to tell you to do what I want you to. And if you don't, I'll sling your soul to hell. Verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now this is detail. Well, we heard part of what you said, but we ignored the rest. Write the things which you have already seen. Write them down. And make sure it's detailed. And the things which are, that you're seeing now, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things I'm going to tell you from this date forward. Because you Christians are slothful. And I want you, John, to be an example. I want you to have the book of Revelation so I can show people what it takes to be a Christian. It isn't once over lightly like you did, you people in the past. You did what you wanted to, and what you were interested in, but what you weren't interested in, you just let it fall by the wayside. But this is God talking to you now, and so be detailed. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand. Boy, he said he saw the seven stars, amen? And the seven golden candlesticks. It's a mystery about these to him. The seven stars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, are the angels of the seven churches. The churches have angels. And the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, are the seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 churches. Because they're candlesticks, the candelabras, they stand up and we see them, they call the menorah, right? A menorah. And how many candles are on there? Seven?
Seven
candlesticks are on the menorah. Now, those are the seven churches. So those seven candlesticks that you see on the menorah are symbolic. The Jews don't even know this, of the seven churches of Asia. Amen?
Amen.
So there's all kinds of clues if you're detailed, very detailed. Chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church. Now he's going to talk about the church of Ephesus here. Not all at the same time. He's going to go through them methodical in detail. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Well, what are the seven stars? No, the candlesticks are the churches, aren't they?
The stars are the angels.
The stars. Now one of them piped up and said the stars are the angels. Yeah. Already they forgot. Isn't that something? How they forget and then they walk away from the mirror and they forget what they're supposed to say and what they're to remember. Is there something more important in this world, in this carnal world, to remember than this? No. This is the Word of God. So the seven stars that he holds in his right hand, these are what?
Angels.
The seven, not the angels, they're the seven angels, kiddies. The seven angels, all right?
Yes.
That's just what I was saying. You people are slothful. You're not detailed at all. In his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, what are the seven golden candlesticks?
The seven churches.
That's right. Why are they called churches? Because the candles light up the world. The churches light up the world. Because the churches have the Word of God. And we need to not hide the candle, the churches, the candlesticks, under a bushel or under a bed, but we have to let the light, the Word of God, shine brightly in this world, or nobody's going to be saved. Okay? Now the Lord is saying to this church of Ephesus, he's not addressing all the churches, just one right now. Verse 2. I know thy works, O you Ephesus people, you Ephesus church, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. We can't stand evil people that don't remember the Word of God even 2 minutes. Yeah, sluggish, you're sound asleep, you're dead. Can't bear them which are evil. Well, why are they evil if they can't remember them? But how are they going to win souls if they pay no attention to the Word of God? They don't know the seven stars. I say that was the seven churches. No, the candlesticks are the churches. And these are the angels, the stars of the seven churches. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. But you can't stand, you Ephesus people, they're in the Ephesus, you can't bear them which are evil. Can't stand them. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, good Christians, and are not apostles, and hast found them liars. You're liars. There's no detail in you. You're very detailed in worldly things, but not in spiritual things, he's saying to them. Jesus wouldn't call them liars. Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience. You've borne the cross. You've carried the cross. You've borne the cross. You've carried the cross. You've kept the commandments. You've walked in the Spirit. And have patience, you patiently, and for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted. The Lord doesn't like people that are weak and fainted, because if you were in his Spirit, you would not be weak spiritually. And so if you're not powerful in the Spirit, you're weak. And the Lord does not have sympathy for weak when the Spirit is available for everybody. There's no need for you to be weak. And so he's commending them because they've labored and have not fainted. They keep doing the will of God and they never get tired. They haven't fainted. They haven't said, oh, I'm doing so much. I do more than everybody. Nobody else in the church does as much as me. Sometimes people call me and say that to me, and I say, well, look, I'm, and now a lot of people may construe what I'm going to say as being hypocritical, but it's not. I say, look, I know that your works, I know you're not doing that much. I'm at least 100 to several hundred times busier than you are, and I'm not complaining. But you're complaining, and you're not even near as busy as you should be. And you have not fainted. I haven't fainted. Okay. But this is the things that the Lord commands them on at Ephesus. But here he goes, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, what is the first love? You think back, you have to think of how wonderful and how zealous you were when you first got saved. Oh, man, I went to the media and I told them Jesus is coming back to earth again. Repent and print this in your newspapers and all this. They said, yeah, we will. They must have thought I was a little bit crazy. But the newborn, the people that are really born again in the Spirit are full of zeal. They don't have much wisdom. Because when I told Sue, they said they're going to print it, and I waited for the newspaper to come out, and it wasn't there. And she laughed at me. She says, they're not going to print it. Those people are evil. They aren't going to print Jesus coming back to earth again. Then Jesus says in the fifth verse, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. First of all, remember when you first got saved, how zealous you were. And now I want you to think back as what caused you to fall. Where was it that you, and why have you fallen? And I want you, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. You've lost your first love. You've left your first love of preaching and teaching and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. You actually are mocking people that praise and thank the Lord, you creep. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. You've left your first love, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your church, your whole candlestick, out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, the Lord wants you to be so full of fire and zeal, and if you're not, he's going to remove your church. I don't need sluggers and people that are not detailed and think that they're condensing things by saying, yeah, the churches or the candlesticks, or we met a few people, or there was a few people, a few responses, instead of saying the amount and where the amount is coming from. Because whenever the Lord touches somebody, I want to know where it's coming from, okay? I want detail. You know, but it's not important for you to know because you've lost your first love. And, you know, trying to put your first love back in you, the Lord says you have to get back on the train. Get back on the plane. And if you don't do it, he's going to come upon you quickly and will remove your candlestick, your church, out of his place, except you repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, you hate the Vatican. Now, this is, it tells in the Bible what the Nicolaitans are and where they're out of and all this city of the seven hills, the seven mountains, and tells all the different things that the Vatican does, which Jesus said, I also hate their deeds. Now, he doesn't hate the people there, but he says, remember, it says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds, the false doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He doesn't hate the Nicolaitans, but he hates what they're doing. And he hates what you're doing too. He wants you to get back to your first love and be zealous. Amen?
Amen.
So he hates the deeds of you people hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I, Jesus, also hate. So we see that the Lord has hatred in him. And it's good hatred. He hates the devil. And therefore, he doesn't want his churches to mingle in with the different religions on earth today, like you see the media and the government trying to get you to do. And if you don't mingle in with all the different false religions, they say they're going to take your tax-exempt status away. And if you don't let homosexuals move into your church, no, the Lord hates that. and people are trying to do this. We were just talking about a person in the city government and the county government saying, hey, we're going to harass you, and God dropped the person dead. Just in, like, he got cancer, and in just a few days after that, he was dead. And so he can't harass us anymore, and he'll do the same thing to anybody that harasses us, because these are the end times. Well, I see that we've gotten so far here today into chapter 2, verse 6, but now we've got to read some letters, because there's only a few minutes left. We've got a couple of minutes here. Okay, where's the first letter from?
From Rosebud, Arkansas.
Rosebud. Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Tony and Sharon, ministers of the gospel of Christ, my thoughts and prayers are with you daily. I thank you so much for the wonderful spiritual messages you send on CD. The way you explain, discuss, and read each passage and verse is so easy to understand and full of the Spirit.
That's because I'm explicit. Okay, it's easy to understand. I don't say a few or, you know, there are some candlesticks. I'd say the whole thing. I'll keep going. We only got one more minute.
I know you understand God's Word deeply and are filled with the Holy Spirit. I felt that the day we visited you in your home, and I still feel it as I listen to your messages. I especially enjoy the CDs of your radio interviews, and I know they are true, for I personally have had spiritual experiences that only spiritual Christians would believe. A few days ago, I saw the sketch of your story on Channel 11. Of course, it was distorted into a smear, but with us, we know it was done by the reporter trying to further his career, and he was willing to destroy others to help himself. And the two people took an opportunity at revenge. It's easy to see that neither of them, nor the supposed daughter, fit into your world, as they were wicked and evil-minded, especially the clerk of the council member of Falk. I sent you what I got recorded. I want you to know we realize Channel 11...
Yeah, some of those people in Falk have repented lately because we don't hear anything from them anymore. Then what?
I want you to know we realize Channel 11 should be ashamed to lower themselves to allow any reporter to put that out, because many people just accept what the TV says. If I hadn't met you personally, I may have accepted it myself. But thank God I did have the honor to meet you, and not only you, but Susan also at Porter Wagner's studio. That I'll never forget.
Okay, our time is up, so we'll have to finish this on the next broadcast. Right now it's time to pray, though. So we give 2 minutes for the reading of the letters. And so right now, those of you that want to, that love detail, you love to learn about the Lord and to really learn all the details of Him, say this prayer. You want to be born again. You want to be saved. You want to be on the gospel train, the gospel plane, meaning the Holy. You want to be in the Spirit. Say this prayer so you can become, and it's for sure, it's true, that you become a son and a daughter of the Lord. Say to Him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, has raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Your word says that all that call shall be saved. You'll hear. And I've called, and I'm saved. And I thank you for it, Lord. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell our listening audience how they can receive a copy of this program, number 755, 755. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling.
Go to alamuministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamuministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in again tomorrow for another powerful, important message for you to have eternal life and to be on the straight and narrow to enter heaven. Well, here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet to sing for you Consideration.
I have no one.
I have no one.
To which I run.
To which I run.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord.
Whom I can turn. Lord, in your blessed consideration, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Tide rolling high.
Tide rolling high.
Billows defy.
Billows defy.
Lord, hear my plea.
Lord, hear my plea.
Don't pass me by.
Don't pass me by.
Lord, when you smile, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Mad winds may blow.
Mad winds may blow.
Mad breakers roar.
Mad breakers roar.
They beat on every side. Oh, one thing I know.
One thing I know.
And to be sure.
And to be sure.
In thee, my soul can hide. When I'm alone,
when I'm alone,
without a home,
without a home,
friends and my loved ones,
friends and my loved ones,
all are gone,
all are gone.
Lord, when you give out heaven's reservation, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Lightning may flash,
lightning may flash.
Wild waves may dash,
wild waves may dash.
The tempest raging high, sent from above,
sent from above.
Whispers of love,
whispers of love.
Attend my feeble cry.
Life will be done.
Lord, in your presence.
Lord, in your presence.
Let me be one.
Let me be one.
Lord, when you give out heaven's reservation, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.